We now come to the second line of the Mishnah.
So this Gemara is very detailed. If you go back to Beis Amud Aleph, so the first machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, was an egg that was born on Yom Tov, where Beis Shammai says you're allowed to eat it, and Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to eat it. Right? So that's machlokas number one. We then have machlokas number two, which is the iser of owning chametz on Pesach. That's the lav, that's the negative commandment. Lo yeroya lecha chametz, v'lo yeroya lecha sa'or. You can't own chametz, leaven, and you can't own sa'or. Now, sa'or is not yeast. Yeast is not chametz, actually. Just yeast is bacteria. But sa'or is sour dough that is used as a starter for bread, which is really a form of chametz. But Beis Shammai differentiates. Beis Shammai says the prohibition of owning sa'or is even a kazayas, but chametz, which is not sa'or, you do not transgress the law of ownership unless you own at least a koseves. Now, a koseves is a large dried date. And although it's sometimes hard to measure, but a date is larger than an olive. And therefore, according to Beis Shammai, the shiur for ownership of chametz is larger than the shiur for ownership of sa'or. In other words, that means we're more lenient by chametz. And what does Beis Hillel say? Beis Hillel says, zeh v'zeh b'kezayas. And we pass on like Beis Hillel, they're both the same. So now the Gemara is going to analyze this machlokas. My taimayu de Beis Shammai. Why does Beis Shammai say that a sa'or is different than chametz? I mean, after all, sa'or is just chametz. So his answer is, im kain, if chametz and sa'or are identical, lichtav rachamana chametz. The Torah should have just said, thou shalt not own chametz, which is regular bread, and I would have known that you can't own sa'or, because sa'or, I would have made a kal v'chomer. I would have said the following, v'ano amina, I would have said, Uma chametz she'ein chimutzo kasha. Chametz does not have, in his regular chametz, bread, does not have as strong a chametz aspect as sa'or, because it cannot make other things chametz. And the Torah still says you cannot have even a kazayas. So sa'or, the starter dough, shechimutzo kasha, its chimutz, its fermentation, is much more potent. It is stronger. Lo kol shekein. Is it not a kal v'chomer? See, again, the problem is the Torah writes directly, you cannot own chametz and you cannot own sa'or. Now, if sa'or is no better than chametz, then just say chametz, and I would have derived sa'or from a kal v'chomer. If the Torah says regular chametz you can't have, then kal v'chomer you shouldn't have sa'or. Therefore, sa'or dikasav rachamana lamalik. So why does the Torah say thou shalt not have sa'or? It must be to teach me that sa'or is not the same as chametz. It is stricter than chametz. Lomar lach, this is Beis Shammai. Lomar lach, this is designed to teach you shiuro shelzeh, the quantity for sa'or, lo kishiuro shelzeh, is not like the quantity of chametz. Chametz and sa'or are two different shiurim. Now this is Beis Shammai. Ubeis Hillel, what does Beis Hillel say? Beis Hillel says, no, they're both the same. If they're both the same, then why have sa'or? Let it be a kal v'chomer from chametz. So Beis Hillel says, no, you would not know one from the other. Tzirichi. I need both verses. If I just had chametz, I would not know sa'or. And if I just had sa'or, I would not know chametz. D'i kasav rachamana sa'or. If I just knew sa'or. Now this part even Beis Shammai would admit. If it only said sa'or, I wouldn't know chametz, because sa'or is more strict, because it's a more potent fermentation. Hava, I mean, I would have thought mishum dechimutz o kasha, only saor, because it is a stronger fermentation that you're not allowed to own. Avol chameit, which is a less of a fermentation, even though you're not allowed to eat, maybe you are allowed to own, emolo, therefore I have to have chameit. Oh, but what about, this is the second point. However, the e kasav rachamana chameit, if the Torah just would have said regular chameit, you're not allowed to own, mishum deroy liachila. See, this is the kenech. Regular chametz is edible. And maybe I would have thought, maybe the Torah says, don't possess chametz, because maybe you'll come to eat it. Now maybe that's a chashash only for regular chametz, but not for the sour dough starter, which is so sour that it in fact is inedible. So if it just said chametz, I might have thought that sa'or you're allowed to keep because you won't come to eat it. Therefore, the Torah had to say, even sa'or cannot be kept. But ein achinami, the shi'ur of chametz and sa'or, according to Beis Hillel, is going to be identical. V'i kazar chaman ha-chametz, mishum d'roi li'achila, it is fitting for human consumption. Avol sa'or, but sourdough, she'ein roi liachila, which is not fitting for human consumption, emolo, I might have thought, perhaps you're allowed to keep it. Because one might say, you can't keep chametz because maybe you'll come to eat it. That which is not edible. No, I understand, but the pasuk itself says, No, that's absolutely not the case. The pasuk goes on and says, "Ki kala ochel machmetzes v'nichrusa." The pasuk says, "You shall not have chametz in your rishus because anybody who eats chametz will get karas." So the Torah itself says that the issur of having chametz is because of the severity of not eating it. So maybe saor, if it wouldn't have said saor, it says saor, but if it wouldn't have said saor, perhaps you might have thought sa'or you're allowed to own. Therefore, Beis Hillel argues the repetition or the reiteration of the Isser of Bal Yeraya for both chametz and sa'or does not create something superfluous from which you could infer an extra shi'or. Rather, I need it even to make it identical. I would have to state it by both.
Just a question. Where the Gemara explains Beis Shammai's position, would seem to suggest that Beis Shammai, the shiori that Beis Shammai suggests is consistent, because it says Uma chametz she'ein chimutzu kasher b'kazayit. So the implication then would be that the chametz should be kazayit and se'or should be something either smaller or larger.
No, oh, okay, yeah, I understand this. What this means is the following. If the Torah would only have written chametz,
right.
Remember, if it only would have written chametz, you then would have said the shear of chametz is a kazayas, and you would have made a kal v'chomer for sa'or.
Right.
Because that would have been your default shear.
Oh, the default shear is kazayas.
So, right. Okay. So if it only would have said chametz, you would have said chametz b'kazayas, and a kal v'chomer sa'or is also b'kazayas.
Right.
So why did the Torah write sa'or? To teach me, sa'or is kazayas and chametz is less, right? So
right.
Yes. So it is true that Beis Shammai is using kazayas, but only if it had not said sa'or, chametz would have been my default shear. Okay. So be it as it may, though, Beis Shammai is mechalek between chametz and sa'or, that sa'or is kazayas and chametz is kosevis. And we of course paskin like Beis Hillel.
This is one of these cases where Beis Shammai was more calm.
In fact, this whole perek is that way. I mean, the first machlok is that way too. The egg that's born on Yom Tov, Beis Shammai says you can eat it.
Right.
Beis Hillel says no. In fact, the whole perek whole first perek of Beya is essentially all the different arguments where Beis Shammai is more makel over Beis Hillel. So you should never stereotype anybody. We have a whole list of kulas. Okay, but now the Gemara asks kasha or makes an observation. It's really just it's not really a kasha, but it's just a question. Ubei Shammai, les lehu de Rabbi Zeira. Would Beis Shammai disagree with the following statement of Rabbi Zeira? Rabbi Zeira made the following statement. The Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, Pasach HaKasav B'Sa'or, when the Torah talks about Chametz, it begins by mentioning, don't eat Sa'or. V'Siyem B'Chametz, and then it switches in the mid-Pasach to go to Chametz. Why that switch? So Rabbi Zeira says, Lomar Lach, this is to teach me, Zehu Sor, Zehu Chametz. Chametz and Sor are exactly treated the same. So the Gemara wants to know, apparently, if Rabbi Zeira makes a statement, Chametz and Sor are exactly treated the same, that seems to fit only Beis Hillel and not Beis Shammai. Now, this I would not call a kasha, because it's not really a kasha. I mean, Rabbi Zeira is an Amora, and the halacha is like Beis Hillel. So for Rabbi Zeira to make a statement that is like Beis Hillel is perfectly fine. But the Gemara wants to know, as a matter of curiosity, so to speak, does Rabbi Zeira's statement fit even Beis Shammai? And the answer is it does. And the reason is the following. Le'inyin achila, this is an important idea. When it comes to the prohibition of eating chametz, there is no argument. Chametz and sa'or have the same quantum, which happens to be a kezias. And therefore, even Beis Shammai would say chametz and sa'or are the same on the isser of achila. And when Rabbi Zeira says chametz and sa'or are the same, it could even go like Beis Shammai in reference to the isser achila, ki pligi, the machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is not regarding the isra of achila, but le'inyan bior, the mitzvah of eradicating. Like this is the isra of owning, right? Chametz has two isurim. You're not allowed to eat, and you're not allowed to possess. And the avera of possession compels you to destroy or sell, for that, whatever, either sell or destroy the chametz. Bior just means to get rid of. That Beis Shammai Savri, Beis Shammai says, Lo Yalfinan, we do not learn Bior, the mitzvah of getting rid of chametz, from the Isser of eating. Which means, even though the Isser of eating chametz is kezias, but the chiv of getting rid of chametz is koseves, that's Baal Yei Ra'eh u'Baal Yei Matzeh, Beis Hillel Savri, Yalfinan, we learn out Bior from Achila. Now let me just explain this a little bit because it's a little perplexing. So it turns out the following. It turns out, just based on the Gemara, but then we'll see how this makes sense with what we do. It turns out that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say that the Isser of eating Chametz, or Sa'or, is the volume of an olive, volume of a kezias. But they argue regarding the Avera of owning Chametz, which is Baal Yei Ra'eh or Baal Yei Matzeh, that Beis Shammai says that regular Chametz you're allowed to own until it reaches a shear of Koseves, and only Sa'or you have to get rid of if you have a Kezias. And Beis Hillel says both for Chametz and Sa'or, the Chiyuv of getting rid of it is not triggered unless you have a Kezias. But when it comes to eating, everybody's moda, the share for chametz and sa'or, is kezias. Now, first of all, what does that statement mean? When it comes to eating, everybody's moda that the chiyuv is a kezias. I mean, does that mean I'm allowed to eat? I could take a piece of bread? Let's say a kezias, whatever it is, a kezias is half a slice of bread. So that means I'm allowed to eat a quarter of a slice of bread on Pesach? What does it mean to say that for achila, and of course the same thing is true with everything, treif, chazer. It always says the shear of achilas chazer, or nevela, is kezias. What does that mean? I can eat less than a kezias?
So little pork canapes or something?
Yeah, right. You know, obviously not. So here the thing to keep in mind is the following. When we say that for prohibited eating, the shear is kezias, we are not really referring to the prohibition. We are referring to the punishment for the prohibition. So, for example, if a person eats chametz on Pesach, if they did it on purpose and they were warned, they could get lashes for malchus. If they did it b'shogeg, they would have to bring a sin offering. So it is only with respect to the chatas or the malkus that we say you don't get that punishment unless you ate a kazayas. And same thing for nevela. Nevela is not a chiyuv chatas because nevela is not a chiyuv kares b'mezid. But nevela you do get malkus. Chazir, you do get malkus. So the way the Gemara describes this is chatzi shir. Chatzi shir doesn't mean slav dafka half. It means even less than the shiur is usur min ha-Torah. But there's no punishment for it. I mean, there's a divine punishment, but there's no earthly punishment. So that's what we mean when we say achila zevazeh b'kazayas. It is not referring to the permissibility of eating less than a kazayas, but it refers to the absence of punishment.
And it makes no difference whether it's b'mezid or b'shogeg?
That's correct. Even b'mezid, there's no punishment for it. There's an interesting shaila, I'll tell you an interesting shaila nachronim about this thing. Let's say a person is a chola sheyesh lo sakana. A person's a chola. A person's sakana. A person has to eat. And the only food that's around is non-kosher food. Now, there's a general principle that says that if you have a choice, you try to give him the lesser prohibition. In other words, there's actually a ranking here. In other words, let's assume that I have different types of food, and I'll give you some examples. One is usher d'oraisa, and one is usher d'rabbanan. So you give him the d'rabbanan if you don't have to give him the d'oraisa. There's a whole shiloh. Let's say a person needs meat. He's dangerously ill, and it's Shabbos. And you have a choice between giving him non-kosher meat or shechting an animal and giving him kosher meat. So is it better to give him treif, or is it better to desecrate the Shabbos by shechting? Now, if you think about this, the logic would actually say give him treif, because eating nevela is only a negative commandment. Desecrating Shabbos is a capital offense. So better to desecrate a non-capital offense than to desecrate a capital offense. But the halacha actually is we give him, we shecht on Shabbos. And the reason is, when you shecht on Shabbos, you're just doing one big aveira. When he eats treif, every kazayas of the treif. Uh-huh. So it's better to do one serious aveira than multiple less serious averas. Right? That would be the logic there. But the reason I'm bringing this in is, let's assume for example it's Pesach, and you have a choice. He has to eat something, but all you have, you're in the middle of a desert or whatever it is, you have a choice between bread and chazer. So is it better to eat bread or better to eat chazer? So again, it's always hard to rank, you know, but better to eat chazer, because bread is a chiyuv kares. Now here's the question I want to bring out. Let's assume he doesn't, these are all theoretical questions, let's assume he doesn't have to eat a whole kazayas. Let's assume he only has to eat a half a kazayas. Is there any preference to a half kazayas chazer over a half kazayas bread? See, the conceptualization is, what is the nature of chatzi shir usur min ha-Torah? Chatzi shir usur min ha-Torah is the principle that says that when the Torah says kazayas, that's only for punishment, not for Isser. And that applies to everything. There are some Acharonim that learn Chatzi Shir is a generic prohibition. In other words, Chatzi Shir says the following. For any sin for which you get malchus or punishment, when there's a kazayas, you can't eat less. Now that would mean, therefore, that eating a half a kazayas of bread is not a sin of chametz. It's a sin called chatzi shir. And therefore, the sin of eating a half a kazayas of chametz is the same sin as eating a half a kazayas of nevela. In other words, it's not that I am transgressing the avera of chametz. The avera of chametz might only be a kazayas, but there's a general isser called chatzi shir usur min ha-Torah. And therefore, the concept of hierarchy or ranking or prioritization of prohibition would not be a relevant construct when you're at the level of chatzi shir. In other words, the question is, do I look at chatzi shir as extensions of the individual prohibitions. So a chatzi shir of chametz is a transgression of chametz. A chatzi shir of nevela is a transgression of nevela. A chatzi shir of chazer is a transgression of chazer. Or do I kind of aggregate all the averis of chatzi shir into one big category, in which case, whether it's nevela, chametz, or anything else, it's all one big thing. And if you say it that way, there would be no concept of saying, oh, this chatzi shir thing is worse than this chatzi shir thing. They're all in the same category. All right, that's an interesting machlokas achronim. Now, let's talk about the other part of the equation. All right, so this I think we understand. When it says, for achila, it's kazayas, we understand that means you only get malchus if you eat a kazayas, but the iser of chatzi shir will certainly be less. But now, let's talk about bal yerah, the iser of owning chametz on Pesach. What do we say? Let's take Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, whether it's chametz or se'or, the iser of bal yerah is only kazayas. What does that mean? Does that mean less than a kazayas I'm allowed to own? In other words, is Beis Hillel telling me I'm allowed to have in my house chametz that I didn't sell? If I sold it, it's not mine. We're talking about chametz that I didn't sell, because if that's the case, then I certainly don't have to do as much Pesach cleaning. Well, I shouldn't say I. My wife doesn't have to do as much Pesach cleaning as she would do, because what are you looking for? You're looking for crumbs? The crumbs are not likely to add up to a kazayas. What are you, right? I mean, you're looking for... Now, you might want to answer, well, maybe kazayas means the same thing it meant for eating, meaning to say, if you have a kazayas, you get malchus. And less than a kazayas, you don't get punished, but you're still not allowed to have, right? Now, you might want to apply the same rule.
But that's not going to... for Hanalia?
For Bal Yerah, you mean?
Bal Yerah, yeah.
But that's the problem. The problem is, you don't get malchus for Bal Yerah. The reason is because it's a passive avera. In other words, the avera of having chametz. I didn't do anything. So you have a real. So the question becomes the following: what is the relevance of saying? Let's take Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai, you have the same question, but let's take Beis Hillel, which is simple. Beis Hillel says the shear of Bal Yerah is kazayas. What does that mean? To get malchus, I'm not going to get, even if I have a kazayas. And the prohibition of having chametz should apply even less than a kazayas. By achila, kazayas could be relevant, because kazayas could be the standard after which you get punished. But for bal yerah, there's no malchus. If there is no malchus, then what do we mean by kazayas? Even less than a kazayas, I can't have it. So from here, the Tzlach, the Rebbe Yehuda, the great Rav of Prague, is mochiach, interestingly enough, that the principle of chatzi shir asur min ha-Torah, that even less than a shir is asur min ha-Torah, does not apply to the law of Bal Yerah. It only applies to eating prohibitions, not ownership prohibitions. Therefore, this is amazing, therefore he says, under Torah law, you are allowed to own chametz in your house. Of course, that doesn't allow you a lot of chametz if it's less than a kazayas. Of course, the problem there is everything in the house adds up. So, I mean, so lemaisa, a few crumbs here, a few crumbs here, you know, you got yourself a kazayas pretty quick. But under Torah law, he says, you're not mechuyev to get rid of chametz less than a kazayas. And that which we do get rid of is a rabbinic law. It's a rabbinic law, it's not a chiyuv d'oraisa. And that's his proof, because if you're going to tell me that the principle of chatzi shir applies to bal yerah, there would be no relevance in kazayas, because malchus you're not going to get anyway for bal yerah, bal yimatzeh. Right, so that's his chiddush, that there is no iser of chatzi shir asur min ha-Torah on the lav of bal yerah, bal yimatzeh. But as I say, that does not change our need to clean the house, because nevertheless there is an issur d'rabbanan to have any chametz in your house, unless of course you sold it. I mean, when you sell your chametz, you're not transgressing bal yerah, because bal yerah is a prohibition against your owning chametz if it's not yours.
So you sell the crumbs as well?
the little crumb you don't sell, but you declare them to be ownerless, and that's also good. For little crumbs, your declaration of mafker them also is a renunciation of ownership. Okay, so let's just see the next few lines here. Itzmar Nami, the second wide line, we learned Amar Rav Yossi Bar Chanina Machlokes, the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is le'inyan bior, is only regarding getting rid of the chametz, the prohibition of ownership. Avo le'inyan achila, but when it comes to the prohibition of eating, Divrei Hakol, they both say Zevazeb Bekazayas, that both Zevazeb, both chametz and Seor, the Isser is a Kazayas, and Tanya Nami Hachi. And we have another braisa that explicitly states that the machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only by ownership. It is not by eating. This is the pasuk: Lo yeira lecha chametz, v'lo yeira lecha sor. Now that's the prohibition. It shall not be seen in your ownership. And that is what it says. Zeh machlokas. This is the argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. She Beis Shammai omrim. Seor is kezayis, v'chametz b'chichoseves, chametz is a date, v'beis hillel omrim, zeh v'zeh b'kezayis. In other words, the braisa clearly connects this machlokas on the verse that is dealing with bior, not owning chametz, not on the verses dealing with achila. Okay, so that's a short commentary on the second machlokas in the Mishnah. Now we have a third. Now let's go back to the Mishnah again, because this was actually quite complicated. In fact, the Gemara will be quite complicated. What are we talking about in the third machlokas in the Mishnah? A person who wants to shecht a chaya or an oaf. You want to shecht a non-domesticated animal like a deer or a bird like a chicken on Yom Tov. Now you are allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. Now, when you shecht a chaya or an oaf, not when you shecht a behema, when you shecht a cow or a goat, this doesn't apply, there is a mitzvah called kisui hadam. What do you have to do? You take dirt or sawdust, sawdust is the way it's commonly done, and you have to throw it on the blood. That's called the mitzvah of kisui hadam. And the discussion in the Mishnah is, how does one perform the mitzvah of kisui hadam on Yom Tov? Because there's going to be a lot of different problems, not all of which are going to be solved in the same way. Number one, dirt or sawdust is muktzah because it's not considered to be a usable object. Although l'chari you could use it for kisui, but intrinsically it's not considered usable. So you have a problem of muktzah. Number two, if you have to dig a hole to get your dirt, you have a problem of making a hole in the ground, which is a malacha of, well, what is the malacha actually? Making a hole in the ground is a malacha of choresh. It's treated like plowing. Making furrows in soil is plowing. Number three, when you take the head of the shovel and you crunch up the soil, you are over on the malacha of grinding. So there are actually three different problems. I mean, you won't have all of the problems, but theoretically, there are three different problems that could arise in kisui hadam. There is the moving of a mukta object. There is the malacha of digging a hole, which is choresh. And there's the malacha of crushing the dirt, which is tochein. Okay, and the question becomes, how do you get around all of these problems? So if you read, let's read the Mishnah literally, because then the Gemara, you'll see the Gemara will redefine this radically. Beis Shammai, right, so it says, Hashoche chaya v'yof b'yamtif. Now, if you shechted a chaya or an oaf b'yamtif. Now that implies, maybe you're not allowed to shecht it because of these problems. But if you shechted it, what do you do? Beis Shammai omrim, Yachbor bedeker, you dig with a shovel, vayechase, and you cover it up. Now, if you read this absolutely literally, Beis Shammai seems to say, full speed ahead, do exactly what you do. Take the shovel, dig a hole, crush up the dirt, and use it. Although we'll see he does not mean that, but that's what it literally means. Ubeis Hillel Omrim. Beis Hillel says, can't do that. Lo yishchot. You're not allowed to shecht. Ela im kein hayolo afor muchan mibod yom. Unless you had pre-designated the dirt, meaning you had already crushed up the dirt before Yom Tov, so there's no problem of muktzah or digging a hole. Umodim, but they are moded to Beis Shammai, that if you did shecht, yachbor bedekar vayichase. Now, the first question is, the Mishnah seems to be internally inconsistent. Because if you read Beis Shammai himself is only referring to where you already did it. Now, as Beis Shammai says, Hashochet, if you already did it, this is what you do. Beis Hillel says, you shouldn't do it unless you already had the dirt. But if you did it, you do what Beis Shammai said. But Beis Shammai himself, in other words, the question is Beis Shammai's heter of digging allowing you to shecht l'chatchila? Or is it only saying, if you already shechted, this is what you do? So the Mishnah is internally inconsistent. The beginning of Beis Shammai's language implies that he's only giving you a b'dieved heter. But if that's what Beis Shammai is saying, he's saying the same thing as Beis Hillel. So what's the machlokas? In other words, from Beis Hillel's statement that you're not allowed to shecht l'chatchila, the implication is Beis Shammai was allowing you to shecht l'chatchila. But from Beis Shammai's own language, ha-shochet, it's mashma Beis Shammai himself was only allowing it b'dieved. So the first question is Beis Shammai allowing something even l'chatchila? And the Mishnah is, of course, we haven't yet said what he allows. That'll be the next issue. But we just want to know, is he focusing on l'chatchila, allowing you to shecht, or is it only b'dieved? So, it starts off the following. Beis Shammai says ha-shochet, which literally means if you shecht it, you do so and so. That implies the avadin. If you did it, this is what you can do. Lachatchila lo. But even Beis Shammai would say, lachatchila, you're not allowed to shecht unless you have pre-arranged dirt. That's how you would read Beis Shammai if you just read that sentence. So the question then becomes, Ema Seifa. But look at the next part of the Mishnah. Beis Hillel says, you shall not shech l'chatchila unless you have prearranged dirt. Now, since he's arguing with Beis Shammai, that must have meant Beis Shammai was maturing it even l'chatchila. Michlal the Tanakama Savar, Beis Shammai holds, Yishchay. So the Gemara's answer is Ha Laikasha. This is not a contradiction within the Mishnah. Rather, Lo Yishchot Vayichasekam. Okay, now this answer is such a weak answer that the Gemara is going to say it's contradicted by the next line in the Mishnah. But if you're looking at the Mishnah line by line, you could read this way. When Beis Hillel says, lo yishchot, he's not simply saying, you're not allowed to shecht. He's saying, you're not allowed to shecht and cover, meaning even if you shechted, you couldn't cover. In other words, that's a pretty extreme b'dieved. In other words, Beis Shammai is moda, don't shecht. Beis Hillel is adding, even if you shechted, don't cover. But the Gemara says, that's not what Beis Hillel says, because the next line says that if you shechted, you would cover. Right? So you can't possibly say that. Eima Seifa, Umodim, Shem Shachat, Shach, Medech, Ve'yichasim, Mechal, D'Reisha, Lav, T'Yavadu. Yeah. In other words, Beis Hillel was saying, don't shecht l'chatchila, but if you shecht, you can cover. So the Gemara basically says that Beis Shammai does mean l'chatchila, Amar Rabba. So Rabba's answer is, Hachi ki amar, this is what the Mishnah means. Ha, when it says ha shochet, see, look at the language of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says ha shochet chayev yof, so we thought that means if one did shecht already, Beis Shammai allows you to do kisoy, which seems to imply in the kasha that he only permits kisoy if you already shechted. So what Rabbi is saying is that's not how to read the Mishnah. Hashochet is not a verb, it is a noun. The slaughterer, not hashochet, one who already slaughtered, but the slaughterer who asks us how he should proceed will be told, go ahead and shecht and do kisa. In other words, Beis Shammai, rather, is maturing even lechatchila. We say, ha shochet. In other words, it's a noun. Not ha shochet, not as a verb, he who slaughtered already, but rather the shochet. Sheba li malach, who comes to seek advice. Ketzad omer lo. What do we tell him? Beis Shammai omrim, omer lo, we tell him, shechot, you are allowed to shecht. Chafor, you can dig. Vikase, and you can cover the blood. Ubeis Hillel omrim, lo yishchot, he's not allowed to shecht. Elim kein, hayalo afer muchim lebidyam. So now, again, without fully explaining the Mishnah yet, because we have to hold off a little bit, the machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is in the realm of lechatchila. Beis Shammai says, you are allowed lechatchila to shecht a chaya v'yof in reliance on your heter of yachbor badeker v'yechase. Beis Hillel says, you are not allowed to shecht lechatchila in reliance on that heter. In other words, you would be allowed to shecht only if you prepared your dirt ahead of time. But Beis Hillel is moda to Beis Shammai, if you did shecht the chaya and the oaf, and you didn't have afar muchan, then yachbor badeker vayichasa. Right, that's the machlokas. And, okay, so that's how a rabbi's learning. And of course, we still need to explain what exactly is yachbor badeker vayichasa. Literally, it means you dig with a shovel and you cover, but you understand that that alone would be three problems. The problem of muktzah, a problem of making a hole, and a problem of crushing the dirt. So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel must mean something other than literally digging a hole in the ground. Okay. Rav Yosef says a little different. Rav Yosef Omar, Hachiki Omar, this is what Beis Shammai is saying. Hashochet sheba li malech, if a shochet comes and asks advice, ketzad omer lo, what do we tell him to do? Beis Shammai omrim, omer lo, lech chafor shechot v'kaseh. Now, this is just a question of sequencing. Look at the difference in Rabba's sequence and Rav Yosef's sequence. In Rabba's sequence, Beis Shammai says, shechot, slaughter the animal, then dig a hole, and then cover. In Rav Yosef's sequence, dig a hole, shecht, and then cover. The principle is the same, but the question is the sequencing. Is the proper sequencing get your dirt first and then shecht? Or is the proper sequencing shecht and then get your dirt? And Baya wants to know, what is the significance of that particular change? So Amar le Abaya le Rav Yosef. So Abaya said to Rav Yosef, Lema, shall I say, Mar, you, the master of Yosef and Rabba, might be arguing over something that Rabbi Zeira said in the name of Rav. Kamaf legiso. You are differing over what Rabbi Zeira said in the name of Rav. Di Amar Rabbi Zeira Amar Rav. Hashochet, Tzarech sheyitein afor lamata v'afor lamala. Now, what Rav Zeira said in the name of Rav is the following. This is a general rule of kisoy, that when you shecht, there should be sprinkled dirt below the blood. In other words, according to him, the way you perform kisoy And that explains it. You sprinkle some sawdust on the ground, you shecht, and then you cover it up again. There has to be a double layer, a layer below and a layer on top. That's what he says. Now, if that's so, we do understand why Rabbah says, first you dig the dirt and then you shecht, because you have to have sprinkled dirt.
Rav Yosef said.
That's why Rav Yosef said it. In other words, what Abaye is suggesting is, hey, Rav Yosef, you probably said you got to dig the hole and get the dirt first because you're going like Rabbi Zeir, that you have to have a bottom layer. But Rabbah didn't worry about that because Rabbah feels all you need is a top layer, and that you can do after you shecht. Right? So Abaye wants to hypothesize that the machlokes Rabbah and Rav Yosef is connected to Rabbi Zeira's law. The Amar Rabbi Zeira Marav, Hashochet Tzarech Sheyitein Ofor Lamata, and I'm assuming that the natural ground is not sufficient. You'd have to sprinkle some special dirt, Lamata, under the blood, the Ofor Lamala, and dirt on top of the blood, Shenemar, because when the Torah says Kisoy for Chaya and Of, it says, "V'shafach estamo, you shall spill the blood of the animal, v'chisahu, and you will cover it, be'afor, the bays, in afor, in." Now, when it doesn't say just cover it with dirt, but the idea of in dirt means the blood should be enveloped in kind of a package, dirt above and dirt below. Afor lo namar ela be'afor, in the afor, Demar, you, Rav Yosef, who says, first you dig and then you shecht, you agree with Rabbi Zeira that you need Ofer Lamala and Ofer Lamata. The Rabbah, who said, first you shecht and then you dig, does not agree with Rabbi Zeira, and all you need is a top layer. So this is Abaye's hypothesis. Omar Lei, but Rav Yosef says, no. Bein l'didi, whether it is according to me, bein l'rabba, or it's according to Rabba, is lan de Rabbi Zeira. We both agree with Rabbi Zeira. In other words, we both say that kisei requires a lower layer of dirt and an upper layer. So the question then becomes, so why does Rabbah say shecht and then cover? V'hacha b'hak palginan. This is our machlokas. Rabbah savar I ika ofer lamata in I lo chayshin and dilma mamlech v'lo shachet. Let me see what Rashi says over here. Okay, here's the thing. Yeah. What did Rabbah say? Rabbah said, we tell the person, shecht, dig, and cover. Shecht, dig, and cover. So Abaye understood that to mean that Rabbah does not require a layer of dirt on the bottom. And that's why he said, shecht, dig, and cover. So Rav Yosef says, maybe that's not true. Maybe Rabbah said shecht and dig because Rabbah's talking about a shochet who already has some prepared dirt that's your bottom layer. In other words, he only needs a top layer. In principle, if he had no dirt at all, he'd have to have a double layer. But in a case where he already has a bottom layer, and he only needs to get dirt for the top layer, we would tell him to shecht and dig for the top layer. So what's the machlokas, Rav Yosef and Rabbah, right? So here's the thing. That Rabbah's position would be this. If there's already dirt lamata, then we tell you to shecht, and then you can shecht, dig, and cover. Ilo, lo chayshinen, Dilma Mamlech V'loy Shachit. Rashi learns, how does he learn over here? 1 second. Oh, Elo. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, this may sound a little odd. Here is the chashash. Here is what Rabbi's chashash is. You need, according to Rabbi Zeira, a double layer. One digging and crushing is before Shechita, and one digging and crushing is after Shechita. Rabbi is afraid of the following. If you do something like crushing the dirt before Shechita, what if you then change your mind and decide not to shecht? So it turns out, retroactively, you did a prohibited activity that was not part of the shechita process. Therefore, what Rabbah says is the following. Rabbah says, we will only allow you to shecht if you already have your bottom layer, and the only thing you need to do is your post-shechita layer, because at that point, you've already shechted it, so we know that this is going to be for food preparation. And therefore, what Rabbah is saying is that even according to Beis Shammai, you will be allowed, this is Beis Shammai, you will be allowed to shecht only if your lower layer was in place before Yom Tov, and all you have to do is get your upper layer after Shechita. We will not allow you to create your lower layer, because since that is pre-Shechita, what are we afraid of? You might do it and then not shecht. And therefore, the only permissible sequence is shecht, dig, cover. Not because you don't need a bottom cover, but because you already had to have had a bottom cover, because otherwise you wouldn't be allowed to dig before Shechita. And Rav Yosef says, that's where I disagree. I say, even if you're going to dig before Shechita, you're allowed to do it, like Beis Shammai, because we're not afraid you'll change your mind. In other words, the point of Rav Yosef's complicated answer is that both opinions say there has to be the bottom layer. But according to Rav Yosef, you can do that bottom layer on Yom Tov itself. In other words, so according to Rav Yosef, we could give the Shochet the instruction, dig, shecht, cover. According to Rabbah, we can only give him the instruction of shecht, cover, dig. Not because you don't need a pre-shechita layer, but because it's only going to be permitted if you already have a pre-shechita layer. Okay, and Rav Yosef's argument is, because if we don't allow a person, according to Beis Shammai, to shecht, unless he already has a pre-existing lower layer, then he will refrain from shechting, and that will adversely affect the joy of Yom Tov. In other words, Rav Yosef says, we don't want to stop people from shechting by putting these impediments in their way, because that would be moneya them, that would hold them away from Simchas Yom Tov. But again, keep in mind that this is all in Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel doesn't allow you to shecht l'chatchila anyway, unless you have Ofer Muchan, and we still have to define what exactly is the Yachbor Badeker by Yechasek. So we'll see this next week. Okay, good.